Welcome to Service Notes, the podcast dedicated to helping IT professionals and customer service leaders navigate the ever-evolving world of service management. Whether you're grappling with organizational change, leading a technical transformation, or wondering how to leverage AI to create better experiences, you're in the right place. We're here to provide the insights and inspiration you need to excel in your career and deliver outstanding service. And now, here's your host, a passionate advocate for service excellence and a seasoned expert in the field, Rina Brambutt.
Today, on Service Notes, I'm joined by Kim King, one of the most influential voices in our industry. We talk about her personal journey, life on a real SWAT team, and yes, how baking a cake has more in common with IT operations than you might think.
So, my next question is, what advice would you give to those who are new to tech or considering career in IT?
The advice I would give is, I think it's getting harder and harder to get into IT. And I think I see a lot of entry-level jobs like the service desk or working on a desk side team. And you know, now there's a lot of software development type positions. So I would look to see what skills are required out in the marketplace. And if you are able to fit those particular skill sets and you enjoy that type of work, I would be looking at LinkedIn and I'd be looking at career pages to see where the jobs are.
Right.
And then from there, I would figure out what I would want to do for as a career to get into IT.
Yeah.
And if you can get into a company in any kind of company, and sometimes you do have to start off as a service desk agent or you do have to start off at that lower level. But just get in and then you can they're usually really good about providing training and putting you on the correct career path.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a good advice. Like sort of like just do your research.
Yes.
What do you know? You know, because in IT, there are so many jobs, even service management, like, you know, from a process to delivery to analyst to like, it's just, yeah, so much is out there. What valuable lessons have you learned throughout your career?
You always have to look at something from the client's perspective. And usually when I've done that, I can see where they're coming from. And sometimes that's hard because they might be screaming at you. And, you know, if they're really angry because something isn't working properly or they feel that they haven't been listened to. Mm-hmm. And I always do follow-ups. I always make sure that if I've been given something to do by the client, that I provide them with timely updates. So if I'm figuring out a new process for them as an example, and I'm held up because I'm trying to find out how to do something or I'm dependent on a vendor or another team, always giving them timely updates. And that is it's a very simple thing to do. It's just common courtesy, but making sure that the client is in the loop so that they know that you're still thinking about them, you're still working on it, and you'll do your best that you can in order to get their issue resolved. That's probably one of the easiest things that you can start to do that'll have an immediate impact.
Right. And would you say that should be done across everyone you work with or specific to client?
I my own style is that I give updates on status with whatever I'm working on. So
yeah.
I'm fairly responsive. I am responsive when people send me emails or texts or anything. And I find it a little bit, I get a little bit miffed sometimes if I don't get that same response back, you know, because I'm thinking all I have to do is just reply back. But yeah, I think it's just common courtesy when that somebody sends you an email or not very many people call these days, but to just a timely response back, even if it's just, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Right.
Don't leave them hanging. Don't leave them hanging. Just, you know, I ping somebody if I'm working on a team with them and say, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm still waiting for that answer. So, you know, please hang tight a little bit longer.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And I guess what I would like to know from you, because it sounds like you have a lot of experience collaborating and kind of, you know, huddling with other people in order to deliver what the client needs. Has there been a situation where you have a peer group which are not quite on the same page where you are, and you're trying to do something the client, you know, just to make sure the client gets what they signed up for. And, you know, we find like there are times SOW says this and what they actually need isn't what the SOW says, you know, those situations.
Totally. Totally. That happens almost all the time. And it happens for a number of reasons. So a lot of time people will not have read the contract. Mm-hmm. And so they don't understand what the SOW requirements are. And so in cases like that, I do a number of different things. So if I've got a team, I had one situation on one account where I had a team where nobody knew what the other internal teams were doing. So what I did was I had everybody write a little paragraph about what is it that you do, and in plain English, not contract language. And then I said, tell me the three things that when you're answering, you know, a request or you're trying to get an incident resolved, tell me the three most things that you have to do for end users. And then tell me three things that you'd like other team members to know about your team, whether it's how to contact you or, you know, you can do this instead of that. You don't need to keep sending these tickets to me or whatever. And so then what I did was I had a workshop and I presented the teams, the internal teams, to each other so that they got to know what they were each doing. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is you can create a services responsibility matrix. And we would do that quite frequently at the beginning of contracts. And we would, to define, excuse me, what it's like a massive RACI chart, but to define what the client is responsible for, as well as what the internal teams are responsible for. And sometimes these things can be quite large, but it's nice. So you've got your service desk responsibilities, your desk side, you've got your Wintel, you've got your network group, and it's nice so that you can see everything in one great big spot.
Right.
Another thing I do is I always hold either weekly operations meetings or monthly operations meetings. And create reports so that people get to know what other teams are doing. And then I also, for most of the, unless the account is running on its own smoothly, which in most cases the accounts that I've had to step into weren't, I would have a daily, what I call a why meeting, a daily scrum meeting, what happened yesterday. And so, and everybody, it was a mandatory meeting. And so everybody's responsible to show up. It's a 15-minute meeting.
Okay.
And it's at the same time every single day. I take the notes down. I'm the chair. I'm responsible for it. I would ensure that I would have the ticket aging report sitting in front of me, so I'd be able to look and say, okay, are there any aging tickets? You know, Joe, what's going on with ticket 1, 2, 5, and 7?
Right.
We still can't get it resolved. Okay, what I'd like you to do is to contact the client again, and tell them that we're still working on it, because I see that it's going to, you know, it's aging and they need some information on it. Right. And then that also allowed for the team members to get to know each other and to start asking questions and to start sharing information and to share knowledge. And so I started, and it takes about 2 or 3 weeks to really get something like that going. And a lot of times the teams don't like it at first because we have to come to this meeting for 15 minutes and they don't like it. And I say, I keep track of everything that goes on there. And so the next day when I come in, I'll say, okay, did you speak to, you know, Mr. Smith about ticket 1, 2, 3? Yes, I did. Great. Cross that off my list. Let's keep going. And you will find that when you do that, you've got the communications between your teams. You've got your teams communicating with your customer. You've got everybody knowing what's going on in the environment, and everything runs like silk.
Yeah.
Smooth as silk. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think there's a lot of good tips, and especially when you have large team, it's important to be communicating with each other, so we know, you know, who's doing what. And sometimes like that gives you confidence. The people you're working with is actually like, you know, on the task and are focused, because if you don't share, you know, how would you know? Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Thanks for joining us. We've only scratched the surface and there's a lot more to share. Don't miss the next episode of Service Notes.
That's all for this episode of Service Notes. We hope you've gained valuable insights that you can put into practice. Join us next time as we continue to explore the latest trends and best practices in service management. Until then, keep learning, keep innovating, and keep delivering exceptional service. Service Notes is proudly supported by 24 Trainings. Advance your IT career with their expert-led ITIL certification and customized service management training. 24 Trainings helps both individuals and teams bridge the gap between theory and real-world skills. To get certified and accelerate your career, visit them at www.24trainings.com.